Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, time to open up your mind, time to raise your voice, time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. On the online happy hour, for those that don't know, this show is an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/how was your weekend? Was with a Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. Hello and welcome the audience tonight. For those of you who have heard this show before, and for those of you who may be listening tonight for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you, broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And I want to say thank you, my listeners. Thank you to bloggers. Thanks all of you, because of you, this show gets better and better each week. Tonight is going to be no different. Tonight is Wednesday, June the 9th. I want to say happy birthday to all of our folks out there who are celebrating their birthdays today. Last week we had a great show, phenomenal show, titled Homosexual Hormones, What Happens When Your Child Tells You That They're Gay. We had a lot of people that just couldn't really fathom that idea, but when we got to talking more about it, the realization actually hit home, and I think there are some of us who are now more apt to talk to our children about themselves, about their sexuality, and about things that are going on in their life. But tonight, we're going to kick things off with another hot topic. You know how we do it over here, ladies and gentlemen. This is Volume 2 of The Norm of Black America, Interracial Dating. And we're going to go back, just doing some history on the subject matter. You know, since the beginning of American history, really, you know, interracial romances themselves have been considered very controversial in their own right. You know, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in the military, whether it's in the workplace, the office, the classroom, I mean, you name it. You know, the majority of these concerns really stem from racist attitudes and beliefs. And, you know, along with that, there are those who talk about the challenges that couples face due to, you know, different backgrounds, different nationalities, and experiences that they go through. That's kind of deep. You know, they have the old saying, once you go black, you never go back. And that could be a feeling. That could be just how somebody's, what they're going through. You know, we never know. But we're going to talk about that, folks. It's not only in America, when I said America, our national society, but you know, there have been bans against interracial relationships all across this planet. And it's been a trip. It's a trip to me. I know it may be a trip to some of you all. Some of you all may have an opinion like, you know what, it shouldn't even happen. We should have one race relations. You know, and people go through different things, different upbringings, and different facets of life. You know, it's just natural. As we get older, you're going to see this country start to mature into that true melting pot that it was designed to be. And we're going to start seeing the effects of interracial dynamics, you know, in schools and jobs, the media. Wow, the media, how about that? This is becoming more and more diverse. So it's something we need to talk about tonight, not only myself, but we're going to have a special guest call in and chime in with us on our panel tonight and just enlighten us, you know. For black men, some of them prefer black women, but I think there's a silent but large majority out there that does prefer white women. They're just too afraid to admit it. And it's been stated that some white women and some white men are less judgmental, and they don't have the same, near impossible standards that you just see in the black community. So we're going to educate tonight. We're going to talk. not only for myself, but for our guest panelists. Let's just go get right into it. You know, these expectations are just something that we need to deal with. I mean, think about someone's upbringing. If you're in a predominantly black neighborhood all your life, you go to a predominantly black school all your life, you live and mature and grow in a predominantly black neighborhood again, would you consider dating outside your race? Think about that. We're going to talk. We're going to get the phone lines open. We're going to chat. We're going to get busy tonight. We have a special guest who's with us tonight. I want them to go ahead and chime in. We have actually two on the panel. Mr. Tanaris Webb, I believe he's on the line. Tanaris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening to you and everyone.
And I think we also have Ms. Tasha Hood in Detroit, Michigan. Tasha, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Andy?
Very good. Tanaris, say hello to Tasha.
Tasha, hello. Nice to meet you.
Hello, how are you, Tanaris?
Doing well.
Good to meet you.
Let's get with it. I mean, we know some things that go on, and you know, with interracial dating, us being of African-American descent, I know sometimes maybe you've looked outside that window to decide whether or not this is something I want to do. Let's talk about that tonight. You know, I will let ladies go first. Tasha, you know, let's ask you the question. You know, what are some of the causes of interracial dating?
Well, great question, Andy. Myself, you actually described me perfectly. I am the woman that grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, went to a HBCU, came back to the same neighborhood, basically. So I have not had the pleasures of dating outside my race, but I am very open to it because I see that being narrow-minded and being shallow is just really, you miss out on so much, you know. So I'm really interested to hear what other people have to say and get their viewpoints because, like I said, you know, I'm opening up my avenues and way of thinking at this point.
Okay. Tanaris, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say, unlike my counterpart, I was born and lived in a predominantly black neighborhood until about fourth grade, and then kind of force-fed a lot of different races after. Went from predominantly black, predominantly white, then a nice mixture by the time of high school and college and on. So when it came to interracial dating, it was one of those things that I think that, based on what I had seen growing up, I was a little bit more open to it.
Wow.
Let's open up that door a little bit, Tasha. You know, from a black woman's perspective, you know, what are some of the views that black women see as far as interracial dating? I mean, is it a difference when you see a black man with a white woman, or is it any difference when you see a white man with a black woman? Does it matter?
It shouldn't matter. Does it matter to a lot of people? Yes. A lot of women, black women, African-American women, may feel as if, you know, why not me? You know, you get that a lot. I have a lot of male friends, and, you know, they get that a lot. Why not me? You know, this woman is single, and she has a career, and she's professional, and she does all those things, maybe possibly more than this white woman. Why is it that you choose her over me? So I hear that a lot. You should date who you love, who you vibe with, who interests you, who makes you happy, you know, who you share the same values with. It really shouldn't be a color-based issue, but it is, and we all know that, you know, realistically, we all know that.
Okay. Tanaris, your thoughts?
Very good observation, I must say. But from a male perspective, a black man's perspective, I do. I think that there's a couple of different things that you encounter. You encounter brothers who feel that that they can't, and you know this as well as I do, that you hear that I can't find a good woman who have these qualities who get me. So they may feel like they need to go elsewhere to find it, although I disagree. I think that it should be more based on chemistry, commonalities, as well as attraction. Those are all the characteristics that you should be looking for. So I don't prescribe to men or women that just say I date exclusively outside of my race based on the lack of within. it should be more or less based on the right reasons and making and meeting someone as opposed to saying no for all the wrong reasons. But there is this stigma that's kind of out there with why black men more than anything move to opposite races. And I'm here to say that it shouldn't be about those type of things. And I think with those, they may be on the shallower end of the thinking pool when it comes to their reasoning why. But for me personally, I think that it does. It boils down to common interests, chemistry, and of course, attraction.
Okay. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with a Z. Get the chat rooms open. I know y'all are thinking some thoughts right there tonight. I mean, we got the positive aspects, the negative aspects too. You know, with interracial, there's a good chance that you're going to come across some criticism. You know, for example, a black man dating a white woman, you know, his female friends and relatives, and, you know, they may accuse him of thinking that, you know, some black women just aren't good enough for him. And that, I mean, that's crazy. And her family may, you know, also possibly criticize her and in some cases, you know, disown that person. So, and God forbid there being children to result from that relationship, you know, that couple will have to try even harder to install and appreciate, you know, both sides from their culture. So there are different things and different pressures that people come from outside, you know, just the inner, that inner feeling, like when you go to the store or you go somewhere, anywhere in public, you know, you're going to see that thing come against you. So, I mean, let's talk about that. What are some of the problems that people face with interracial dating? You know, would you feel ashamed or would you stare at a couple if they were out in public?
Okay, I'm going to say you're asking me, would I stare at a couple if they're out in public? Well, because, again, of my surroundings where I am, we don't see that often. It's almost a conscious shot when we do see it, but it's not, I don't think where it's a stare like, oh, my God, he's with her. It's almost like, okay, because you don't see it a lot. Where you cross the border over to Canada, you see it everywhere. All cultures cross. So we're talking about a 15-minute drive over a bridge, and it's a totally different environment, totally different atmosphere. Everybody is vibing, loving everyone. Back over in Detroit, you have 90% African-Americans. You're going to see most African-Americans with other African-Americans. So would I be ashamed if I was dating a white man? No. It's my choice. It's something that I've decided to do. You either accept it or you don't. I've never been ashamed of an African-American man that I dated. So I think that, again, as long as he treats me well, as long as we share the same values and, you know, it's all about our relationship. And no, I would not be ashamed at all.
Okay. Tanera's your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think that it takes going to different countries, even outside of the continental United States and North America, to see what race relations are really like and how people view things. But I think in this country, we have the biggest problem with it. We're the most diverse, yet have the biggest problem when it comes to interracial dating. But it does boil down to how you were raised and what you've experienced. I don't even think that it's one of those things that people will be against it. I think is more or less because it's a level of comfort, because you can strew a lot of sometimes negative connotations with it, and just like anything else, you can kind of even equate it to racism back in the day when we were feared because of all these stereotypes and how people will prescribe to that without even knowing anything about you. So
right.
So when it comes to this now, I think that because we're in more of an information age, and you do from the 80s to 90s to now, you see a huge change because it's not as taboo as before. Now, yeah, you have some of the older generation that just who have their views on it, but because of information and seeing it more so now than ever, I don't think there's much of a stigma that goes along with it, but I think that between black men and women, when we see it, we are more or less apt to say, kind of do the self-introspection thing, well, what's wrong with me? Kind of a thing. But once we get past that, then I think that it's not so much of a problem with interracial deal. I think it's more of an issue of a personal thing. We kind of internalize it more so than what we really should, what we have to, because I don't think it's personal or it should be taken personal. It's about a choice, an individual choice. Now someone was shunning and saying, you know what, I'll never do this, this, and this, and this is why, and it's your own race, and I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. That, again, I just think it's just a matter of where you are personally and your level of education and knowledge when it comes to just to race relations as a whole. And the one thing that gets me more than anything is about that, it's that hypocritical thing that we do. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I ask to be judged based on my content, my character, and who I am, as opposed to being judged by the color of my skin. And for me to turn around and say, you know what, she fine, so she need to be with a brother. No, instead of saying that, say, you know what, good for her. She got somebody that's treating her well, good for her.
Well, some of the bloggers actually saying some black women just have too much attitude.
Oh, wow.
From a black woman in a response to that, what does that mean exactly?
I'm sorry, Andy, I couldn't hear the question. Could you repeat it?
Yeah, someone in the chat room has actually said, and we have two chat rooms up, ladies and gentlemen. We have the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio, and we also have a chat room over at howwasyourweekend.com, the Blog Talk chat room over there. Someone made the comment, some black men stop dating black women because they say that they have too much attitude.
Whoa.
What does that mean?
To a black woman, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I can only speak for myself, speak about my own personality. Well, I'm very strong, independent, and I voice my concerns. However, I know my place. When I say I know my place, what I mean is it's a time and a place, and sometimes you have to not let things go in the sense that you let someone walk over you or you let someone control or dominate the situation all the time, but some things are just better left unsaid and just say, okay, you know, whatever, and go on to the next paragraph. You know, you don't have to argue and debate about every single thing or every single issue that comes about in a relationship. I think that some men think that we have attitudes because we're not willing to do every and each thing that they say or that they recommend that we do. I'm very independent. However, every woman, either in her independence, she wants a strong man. You know, I make all my decisions at work. I talk to doctors and other professionals every day, all day. When I come home, I would prefer for someone else to take over, you know. So I think that that's a horrible misconception about African-American women. It's something that I know I hear all the time from all men, that women, black men, have attitudes and we don't listen and things like that. And I just really think that people need to get to know the individual instead of basing everything on a stereotype.
Okay. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. Let's go ahead and take some calls and have our panelists help us answer some of these questions. In fact, we have a caller calling out of Kansas City, Missouri. 2736, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, talk to us. Talk to me. Who is this?
This is Toy.
Hey, Toy, how you doing?
Hi, Toy. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing well, young lady.
Great.
Toy, you've been listening to Tasha, you've been listening to Tanaris. Do you have any feedback on what we've been talking about today? I mean, dating, interracial,
I agree with what young lady just said as far as black women and I guess our level of submissiveness. But that, personally, in me, it comes from I guess, treatment, mistreatment from men of my own race. You know, I can say those are the only ones that have a complaint about me because I have not personally dated out of my race. But the whole thing to me is men themselves need to know how to be men in the first place. A lot of those men that have complaints about black women are upset with themselves because they don't know how to be a sufficient man. So therefore, they will run somewhere else where it's more hospitable, where the carpet's rolled out a little more evenly for them.
Okay. Well, Tanesh, what do you think about what Toy just had to say?
Well, I think that's a very valid point, but I guess the first thing that pops in my mind is yes, there is a misconception, but ultimately it boils down to not only I can't go back to stress enough by individual choice, but I do realize that the dynamic between black men and women is very tense. It's been tense for years, and the one thing that this interracial dating is kind of almost becoming like an out. It almost is being construed as an out instead of just addressing your issues as an individual, not necessarily in blaming it on someone else, because well, the one thing as a black man that I think that I have encountered is with women and my sisters as well, is the issues based on other relationships. If you had a bad relationship, it was a bad relationship. It doesn't mean that all are the same or that all should be treated the same and have this almost, because let me take even a step back. Let me step back just a little bit further to kind of address the initial question regarding the attitude. But I don't think it's an attitude with black women. I think that, yes, I do have to sympathize. You have to deal with us. So we're a handful and you know it. However, I've seen on more than one occasion because of that, it's almost difficult sometimes to approach a woman of color. And trust me, I have tried on several occasions, not to say I won't ever stop, but there are differences. There are differences when, and I'm just saying from a common courtesy standpoint, you might have had a bad day, mad at the world or everybody else, but if someone approaches you regardless, a brother approaches you and he's respectful, and again, this isn't saying one person, this isn't saying, because I can't generalize either, but I'm just saying from experiences that common courtesy gets you so far. It gets you so far, but it is about a perception thing. So clearly if it's more than one person that is stating it, yeah, I think sometimes it's based on the wrong thing, but ultimately it becomes reality based on certain experiences. So do I say, I agree with you about black men. Yes, it cannot be an excuse to go somewhere else and do something else. If this is what you want, then understand that there are certain things that come along that go along with it.
Well, let's go ahead and open the phone lines up. We want to thank Toy for calling in. Let's keep the phone lines going. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I think we have a caller calling out of Atlanta, Georgia. Phone ending in 1605. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. I'm actually in Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to learn my area codes in.
No, 404 is an Atlanta area code, but I live in Baltimore, so.
That's what's up. Who are we talking to tonight?
This is Nika.
Hey, Nika.
Hey,
doing,
Tasha.
Nika?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
So, Nika, you've been listening to interracial dating?
I have. Oh, wow. It's kind of, I'm indifferent. I was a little fired up by a certain rapper's comments about black women yesterday. So I'm indifferent when it comes to that because, for one, my sister is in an interracial relationship. Her husband is Caucasian and Japanese. Therefore, I have a biracial niece. So for me, you know, and seeing that, that's my niece and that's my brother-in-law. So regardless of their race, I love them. You know, I love them unconditionally. So seeing that and knowing what they've gone through, I guess, to be able to maintain that relationship, it makes my heart a little different. Like, I remember back when I was younger, prior to my sister and him, you know, having this relationship, I would look at him like, what is this black man doing with this white woman? But now it's just kind of like, if that's somebody that you care about, and like I've heard someone mention earlier, like, you have same interests with, you have things in common with, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I can't argue with that. But the problem that I would have with interracial dating, if a black man decides to date a white woman and he puts down the black woman, then that's when it's absurd to me, because I don't think you need to put down either race. It is what it is. Say, this woman meets my needs, I love her and I'm with her. But to put down a whole race because that's one person that you had a relationship with before didn't work out, to me, that's not fair. Like, don't carve in me, I like the next woman or the woman before or whomever, because I don't think that I'm that same person.
Right. Okay.
I like that, because basically what she's saying is, just like men do not want to be held accountable for prior relationships, then don't hold us accountable for prior relationships that you've been in. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair. And I believe it was Tasha, you said, when it comes to black women and, I guess, being headstrong or whatever, you have to think about our history and look what we've had to endure. I mean, when you think about the statistics, it's more of us that are single black women. So we are made to be strong. When you look at statistics or other things, it's more of us that have, you know, HIV, AIDS. So it's a lot of things that we're coming in contact with that we're having to deal with on a daily basis that women of other races don't. And when you think about that, of course, you know, we are wearing double hats. Some of us are wearing triple hats. So with that being said, if you're a man that's coming into my household to help me, there may be different stipulations that another woman won't have, because my situation is different. And I say, as being submissive, I'll submit if I respect you. Make me respect you.
Okay.
Is that simple?
That's what's up.
And I just have to say, I applaud that statement, because that's what we want. That's exactly what we want.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just hang around for a little bit if you don't mind. Let's just kind of keep discussing this topic, because, I mean, it's very intriguing, relationship aspect, the communication, but there's that other certain element, some familiarity, that curiosity. I mean, some black men like to get involved in a relationship with white women because they're not familiar with them, they're curious about the sex. You know, it's taboo to date outside your race. Even white men, white women, you know, the whole packing stereotype. The white women look, you know, they look different, they act different, they smell different, they feel different. You know, they come from a different world. They don't know what we grow up in. If you grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, things are going to be totally different. So even if you are growing up in a predominantly white neighborhood as a black male or a black female, it's still a difference, and there is a curiosity. So sometimes, you know, you date outside your race in order to get an insight on that unfamiliar, you know, what goes on over here that's a little bit different. I'm curious. I know some of you can agree with me in the chat room and also on the phone that I'm in about that, and you just meet, you're just in a different world, and with that dynamic, is the sex different? You know, I mean, we can talk about that. Do you think that's an intriguing factor? You know, is sex different with white women than with black women from a black male perspective? From a white man different than a black man? You know, call us, chime in, and tell us that. Let us know, 646-727-3279. What are our panelists thinking about that? Because I know it's crossed your mind already.
Well, I'll chime in. I couldn't kind of help but chuckle when you were saying that, because there's some truth to that statement. but for me, it was one of those things that I was surrounded for a long time and never really, I guess, the curiosity thing was there, but I never acted on it, not until high school. And truth be told, I'm going to put it out there, you know. And back then, you know, the appeal was because we were told that they would do things that sisters don't readily do. You know, and it's getting your mind right, you know what I mean, without getting too graphic. So, but
I think
but
they call it Becky nowadays.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, exactly. So, but why I chuckle was because it was so ironic was I thought that, and it didn't happen with Becky, but I mean with the sister. So it was just like for me, I'm like, hold on, something ain't right here. I thought that it was supposed to be like this, and it's not. So yeah, I do. I think that more than anything, initially it is. It's a curiosity. I think it's a curiosity thing, especially for Black men. Younger, but older. I think it's other things. It's not so much a sexual thing. It goes back to more submissive, to them being more, quote unquote, more submissive, which isn't true. But I think it's more or less based on what is being heard or said by a small group of people, the stereotypical things. So, you know, all black people don't eat watermelon, so we all know. Most of us do, but not all.
Tasha, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I haven't had actually a personal experience to really give you a feedback, but what I would say is that it's a stereotype, of course, about white men. And black men, you know, the size of the hand, the size of the feet, things like that. So untrue. That's not true in all cases. And just to, you know, I, without saying too much, I'll put it this way. Well, you know, when they talk about white men and they're not what they call packing or whatnot, some black men aren't either. So we'll leave it like that.
Okay. So there. I know you have a comment.
Who is that?
Mika?
Oh, definitely. You know that I do. I've had the pleasure of being with a white guy and when I was younger in high school. And to me, I don't think that there was a difference. It is, I mean, about how they look and how they smell, but beside that, like, being intimate with him was just like being intimate with any other man. So I think when it comes to the black race, a lot of times things like, you know, sex is taboo. Like, a lot of things that we were doing in the bedroom, we weren't talking about it. Nowadays, like, and I'm going to say past tense, back in the day, nowadays, and I'm sure Tasha could, you know, chime in, going to school together, that's what we talked about. You know, in dorms, when you were with your girlfriends, that's what you talked about. And it's not that way anymore. Now we can express this is what we do, that now we can express that this is something that I like it or I'll try it. And we're more experimental because it's not as taboo as when it was when our parents were our age or younger and experimenting.
Okay.
That is so true. In fact, when you make the point about the parents, to this day, I think, and I'm not trying to be funny, but to this day, I think my mother thinks I'm a virgin because we never talked about it. It was just a subject that was never discussed. It was kind of like, almost like a matter-of-fact type of thing. We don't talk about this, you know, don't bring any babies in my house type of thing. So when they came, when we talk about sex and relationships and things, it was really, like she said, communicating with your girlfriends and interacting with other people to really know what's out there, what do you do, how do you do it, or what do you like, how do you like it, to even know what it was all about. Until you got to this point, like you said, this day and age, we probably talk a little bit too much about things that we like. It. You know, some people are so voracious about it, they're telling you right up front, as soon as you meet, and on the initial contact, exactly what they want, how they want, it's like, whoa. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we change with the times.
Right. This is a real hot topic. I mean, the phone lines are lit up. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Go ahead and program this number in your cell phones and your BlackBerry, 646-727-3279. Tanaris, Tasha, the phone lines are lit up. Do you mind if we take a few calls from our listeners?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and do that. You know, we've got Tasha in Detroit. We got Tanaris in Dallas. Move it out to the West Coast in California and get a call to chime in. Caller, your digits ending in 1731. Are you there? Caller, are you there? California 310. All right, he must have his number on the mute button. That's okay. We can actually keep the California thing going on and keep it out in California. No, let's take it further south in Houston, Texas. I know we got a Houston caller right there. Houston, numbers ending in 3992. Are you there?
Yep, it's me. I'm listening, and I haven't heard the entire conversation, but I will say that I think there is a it sounds to me, I heard someone mention submissive, and I really think that we're using the word submissive and passive interchangeably. And so I don't think there's this notion that white women or non-black women are more submissive. I think it's more so that they're passive is what we hear. Because most of the stuff that some brothers will pull on non-black women, you won't get away with it with a black woman because she's going to call you on it. If you want someone to be submissive to you, I mean, you have to be submissive yourself. And that means monogamy and not cheating and being honest and, you know, taking responsibility for your actions. We're not just going to roll over and just lie down. And that's kind of where I stand on it. Everybody can date who they want to date. I really don't care. I have a preference for black men, probably only because I have a man, a white man, or a non-black man that I wanted to date. I'm pretty open to it. Why shouldn't I be? You know, it's so interesting how black women, we are so devoted. Oh, I only want a black man and blah, 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 blah. And brothers are like, yeah, I just want a woman. It doesn't really matter. I don't believe that it's always sexually based. I think that some is based on your experiences. I went to predominantly white high schools, and what they wanted was black girls made like shaped like white girls. That's what they wanted. When I got to Grambling, I found out I was fine. Like, I didn't know all through high school. Because, well, I knew for guys who went to black high schools, that's pretty sexy. But the guys that I went to high school with, no, they wanted black girls made like white girls. And so there's these conceptions that, oh, you know, go look at her mama because that's what she's going to look like, you know, in the past. Mm. And black men, you know, and now black men have a problem with, you know, this whole thing of black women don't exercise and because they don't want to get their hair messed. I mean, there are all these stereotypes that it's not other races that are throwing them on black women. We are the most talked about freaking minority, double minority ever now. We're like the biggest, you know, I don't get it. And the more that the media hypes it up, the more it's going to happen.
Okay.
The more we still tend to be alone. And when we don't have choices, women tend to become, or people, period. When they don't have a lot of choices, like I'm just being honest, we don't have a lot of choices in black men, quality black men. We don't. Are they out there? Absolutely. But so are, like, 30 women for each one.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Hold that thought. That's a good point. She brings up a good point. She says there's a lot of black men out there, but maybe they're just not in places where these women need to see them. Or
no, I think there are like 40 women for them. I'm sorry. and they know that.
That's a whole lot. But to piggyback on what you're saying, we do not have, I mean, our options are limited. I won't say we do not have options, but our options are very limited. You know, and this is going to bring about a whole different thing, but, you know, we deal with brothers on the down low. We deal with brothers that are gay. We deal with brothers that are uneducated, do not want to go to work, do not want to, I mean, they would rather you go out and get a paycheck while they sit home and say, you know, So we deal with a lot of variety, if you will, of African-American men. Not all, I won't say that, But a vast majority of black African-American men, they have issues. And we're left to pick through, you know, no, he has baby mama drama. No, can't have him. I heard he was over here with Johnny. I mean, you know, so we have so many things that we have to deal with. And, I mean, it makes it very difficult, especially if you want to stay within your own race.
Wow. Well.
Sorry.
I mean, that's something you do hear a lot of. You know, we want some black men to go ahead and chime in. Maybe some white men who date white women. I know you're out there listening. You know, tell us what's going on. Let's go ahead and keep the phone lines open. We have a caller calling from Louisiana. 5894, caller, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, talk to us. Who's this?
My name is Cammy Brown Joe in the Jonesboro, Louisiana area.
Cammy, I know you've been listening to the show.
Oh, yes, I have.
What are your thoughts on what we're talking about tonight, interracial dating? Is it the norm of black America?
It has become the norm. It has become the norm. At one time, it was not socially acceptable, but now it's just jungle fever everywhere.
Well, let me thank my Houston caller for calling in. She brought up a point about, you know, what... there's not being enough black men out there or not really making themselves aware. What are your thoughts on that? Hello?
Hello?
Are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. What did you say? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
What are your thoughts on what you've heard tonight?
Like I said, it has become the norm, but, you know, many years ago it was not socially acceptable, and now it's just like the gay issues, you know, it's just socially acceptable now. I have them in my family. Do I not like them or not love them? Yes, I love them, but personally, I have two children, and I wouldn't want them to date out of their race.
Okay. Okay. Any particular reason why not?
I guess I'm old school and just feel like, love is blind. I mean, love has no color. I know that. That's the way I feel about it. My husband is black, you know, and like I said, I have him on both sides of my family, where my cousin, I have an older cousin, all he dates are white women, and he has three white mixed children. I love them, but that's just not for me, my
okay.
personal opinion.
Okay.
My personal opinion.
Cam, that's what's up, man. I really appreciate you calling. Tanaris, what are your thoughts on that? So are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what are your thoughts on what Cammy had to say?
A few things, but the first thing that popped in my head was what you said about your children. If one of your children came home with someone of the opposite race, you would deter them based on what reason?
Well, I don't think that's what she meant. I mean, bottom line is what she's saying is that's her preference.
Right. But we're not – okay. I think everyone is entitled to their preference, but I think that it's when we start, I guess – this is on a different end, but this is how racism is born. When a black person, we marry and we have children, and we tell our children, or as a race, that you don't deal with someone else because they're different. But when you're in the minority, you ask for all the same benefits that the majority or anyone else has. So it's almost like I'm telling you something outside of what you should expect. But again, it does, everything it does, it boils down to a preference. For me, yeah, I do. I think that it's easier in theory to date someone within your race because you have a lot of commonalities. You don't have to work as hard when it comes to certain things. But outside of your race, yeah, there are things that you will learn about their culture and they'll learn about yours, and you might get your eyes open to some things and vice versa. But ultimately it does. I can't disagree with with what she's saying regarding how she wants to raise her kids and what she wants to say that is easier for them and trying to look out for them. But I think that there's a lot of problems within just our own race amongst each other. And I have to give it up for the women who all called in, because they're right. I mean, black women get portrayed as these negative creatures. Like they're the almost the antichrist. They're the reason why there's so many problems, when in fact they're part of the solution. So I applaud you, the women, for trying to hang in there regardless of what they're being told or what they're hearing.
Okay.
What is it? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean that's I'm listening to what you're saying. Well, let's just keep the phone lines open. We've heard from Houston, we've heard from Louisiana, Detroit is on the line, Dallas is on the line. Let's go ahead and light the phone and get a caller from Indiana. Caller ending in 3022, you're on the line?
Yeah. What's going on? It's Brian.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're going pretty good, man.
Good.
I'm good.
Good. I have to agree with my man who was just speaking, man. Like, the women bring up a lot of good points. And, I mean, when you look at it as a whole, the whole interracial dating thing, you like what you like. You can't knock anybody for liking what they like. Now, I have the problem when people say, I don't like, well, I can't even say that. But when a black person would say, I don't date black women, or a black woman would say, I don't date black men. Now, I always have a problem with that, because that's what you come from. So for you to say that, you, in essence, you're disrespecting your own heritage. And that's, my own personal opinion. Obviously, me, myself, I'm not married, but my girlfriend is black. I come from Gary, which is an entirely black city. So all I have known throughout my entire life is black. And I'm fine with that. That's what I like. That's what I do.
Okay.
On a whole nother note, on what one of the young ladies spoke about earlier, now I work in a health field. So, yes, black women do get a bad rep, and yes, a lot of it is undeserved, but with all stereotypes, they have to come from some truth. Now, in general, white women in general do work out more than black women. Now, and it's not that black women don't want to, because I'll meet a lot of black women that say, oh, I need to work out, but they don't do it. On the other hand, white women, and this is a general statement, obviously this cannot be said of all black women or all white women, because there's some lazy people out there, period. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it's just lazy people. But as a whole, in general, white women do work out more than black women. And,
okay.
And as a piece,
well, hey, man, I really appreciate that call. Tanera, Tasha, any comments on that?
Tasha?
Well, yeah, I'm here. You guys get a little bit of slack from that. First of all, I'm in the healthcare field as well. because of the demands of my career, it is hard to go to the gym, to work out, to do those things. I try to incorporate that in my daily routine. Do I do it every day? No. Would I like to? Of course. A lot of times, and this is just from my experiences, I do have a few friends in different cultures, but they're able, they have the ability, they have someone, I live in a single home, okay? Most women, I'm a 36-year-old single woman. Most women my age that are in other cultures are married and have children, and they have I'm just speaking in general terms. Most of them have a good support system where they're able, they can leave the children with the husband, they can go work out, they can go do those things that they need to do, and it's more of a free, I guess, more free atmosphere. Whereas myself, I have to do everything when it comes to my household. And then I also have a career that's very demanding. So if they call me, they page me 8 o'clock in the morning, it's like I'm going here. And then this guy pays me, I'm going there. So it's just, I think that when you're talking about how the black woman takes care of herself, the things that she's willing to do, I think it just depends on the situation. We're not all in the situation where we have that support that we need, that we can get out and do those things that go work out. You know, some of us work 14, 16 hours a day. We're tired. We have to come home, prepare a meal, go to bed because it's another 16 hours the next day. So, I mean, in defense of all black women, you know, we're not all afforded that ability to get out and do those things. We're just not.
Wow.
Can I play devil's advocate just for a little bit on this one? Just a little bit.
Please do.
I can understand exactly what you're saying, but I think with most people, and this is me, if I choose to exercise, work out, kind of keep myself up in a certain condition, yeah, but I'm not what I used to be. I can't say that, but at least making an attempt, then is it wrong to expect the same out of my mate? And in addition to that, if schedules are demanding, the one good thing that they do now with these gyms, they have daycare, they have some that open 24 hours. I know it's a stretch and there's a lot of things that are going on, but it's just it really boils down to a kind of a decision. Yeah.
Okay. No, when you say
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It just depends. I think it just depends on what you're looking for in the mate. I mean, everybody does not want a 5'4" female, so.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. No one's saying you got to be a certain size or anything. I'm saying for health reasons. I'm not talking about okay, let's get in the gym and work out 3 hours a day and try and fit in something that you did in high school. No, I'm a lot more realistic. You know, so I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I need a size 2. Nowhere near it. Just fit.
Well,
we're talking about fitness. We're talking about just fitness.
Keep the phone lines open. And have another caller chime in. Let's just keep the phone lines here in the South and call from Texas. You know, let's just hear from, you know, some other people. Texas, you're there. Phone number ending in 0861.
Why, hola, Andy. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Who's talking to us tonight?
This is Andrea Mack.
Andrea, have you been listening to the show? Tonight we're talking about The Norm of Black America, Volume 2, Interracial Dating. We've heard from black women. We've heard from black men. You know, what are your thoughts on what we're talking about tonight? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I kind of came in late to the studio, so you're going to have to clue me in on this. I just kind of got the part end of it, but I didn't
what
really hear everything. So.
What we're saying tonight, you know, the norm of black America, you know, interracial dating. You know, there have been some callers who chimed in and said that, you know, they only want their family to date inside their race. There have been some who were trying to say, you know what, it's their preference from a black woman perspective, from a black man perspective, outside their race for different reasons. So what are your thoughts?
Wow. Well, if that was the case, I'd have 4 different races that I would be dating if I stayed within confines of one race. However, my preference, yes, being that I date black men, but that's just solely a preference. I did hear the last lady talking about what we have to do for our children, and there's some people at our age that, you know, that are married and settled down, which I'm not, and I have a child, a 13-year-old, that I bust my butt for every day, and it's something that you have to do. So I really think it's what you choose, okay, what you were confined to as a child and or adolescence, period. You have to look beyond that, and it doesn't matter race. To me, it doesn't, because if that's the case, I would be still sitting on the reservation in Ponca City, Oklahoma, being a wet nurse, feeding my tribe. So if I can put that into perspective for some people. We were all enslaved, and my people, honestly, are still enslaved. if you want to talk about race, I mean, it's really crazy.
Well, I appreciate that. Tasha, your thoughts? Tanaris, your thoughts? Well, get quiet on me now. I know you're thinking about it. You know what? I'll kind of speak on it. I think it's outstanding that we just have, you know, number one, a multifaceted of what people actually are thinking about. You know, we're hearing different viewpoints. Everybody has something a little bit different to say. You know, maybe it's based on where you're living, where you grew up, and it could be based on what society is playing on us. I mean, this gentleman called in and said it had to be, you know, white women have to get in shape. They said, how do you know? We don't know that anymore. But, I mean, if that's what you see and that's what you've been told, then, you know, understandable. I mean, it's out there. We've talked about sexual relations. I just think what goes on is just, it's open. I mean, you're going to encounter different race relations. But think about this, you know, let's look at Phoenix, Arizona, for example. You know, the black or African-American population is 3%. It's very small. We got a caller calling from Houston that says, you know, you don't have that opportunity. So you must take into consideration, you know, who someone would date. So you're just competing amongst those few, and when you expand your options, it's a little bit bigger. You know, why limit your options by closing off a whole separate race? Because if you're single right now, you know, Mrs. Wright outside of your race.
May I speak on that, Andy?
I'm sorry?
May I speak on that?
Sure.
Okay, because my thing was when I was heavier, and you know that I'm mixed. You know that I'm Indian, Scottish, Black, and Cuban. And when I was heavier, the only men that would look at me were Black men. And, yeah, my skin is very, very fair. And I got criticized about that by white men all the time. But now the smaller that I am, at a size 2, as you say, they still like it. The white boys do too. So it's just, I think that's a cop-out. I think that's bullshit, honestly, for a black man to say that about a white woman.
Okay.
They need to lose weight because when I was heavier, believe me, and I was joking on Facebook today, you saw it buying those BET butt pads because I've lost it all.
All right.
I'm just saying. I think that's a cop out.
Okay. Tanaris, your thoughts?
I'm trying to get my arms around the part where you're saying a cop out. Could you clarify that a little bit? What exactly is the cop out?
Okay. Well, honestly, I just stepped in on the conversation, but from what my understanding is, that if you would just lose weight, as far as white women are concerned, what does that mean to me? What are you trying to tell me? That
okay,
if
well,
I'm a size 16, that I'm too big? Or elaborate on that for me.
Well, I don't think anyone's made reference to losing weight meaning it correlates to a level of attractiveness or being sought after. I don't. If that's the impression that you might have gotten from me, that was not what I was trying to relay. So I'm a little confused.
My apologies. That is what I got.
Yeah, no. We were talking about no. I was correlating just fitness as a whole. And that's why I was saying it's not about a size thing. It's just about fitness. And
gotcha.
And whatever level of fitness that means, if you're a size 16 but it's tight, you're in good shape, so be it, because we all are built differently. That's
and
what
again,
I was
my apologies. I came in on the half-end conversation. My apologies.
Oh, no, quite all right. Quite all right.
What's up?
I guess the one thing that just keeps, I guess, popping in my head as I've been listening and talking tonight, what it boils down to is just someone finding someone who can make them happy. And at the end of the day, it really everything else shouldn't matter because. Within your race, outside your race, it really boils down to finding your level of happiness with someone else, or not, because I think that more than anything, we all feel that we get to a certain point in our life and we start
having this checklist of things that we have to have achieved, and part of it is for most is some sort of relationship. And if that hasn't happened for someone, and myself included, I'm okay with that, but it doesn't mean that I have to settle. No one should have to settle for anything. And part of what tonight has been kind of construed about it is, without it being said, is a certain level of people just settling. You're saying, well, I can't find it here, so I'm going to write off this, and I'm going to go somewhere else and find it, which is the wrong answer.
Right.
Because people are people. Once you pull back the layers, people are people. Everyone have their own individual issues, idiosyncrasies, or whatever it is, what that makes them who they are.
Hmm. Ashley, you want to chime in on that comment?
Well, I was with him until he said that when we become a certain age, we start to settle.
Feel, not settle, that you have to.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, now wait a minute. Now, again, I feel African American. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I just think African American women, we have it the toughest. We have it. We have to deal with so many different dynamics. When it comes to dating in general, we have to deal with the church. We have to deal with finding out about this individual person, so many different things. And if that person is comfortable with stepping outside of their race, dating other people, and they're open to different cultures, I say why not do it? I don't feel that it would be, at this point in my life, a decision I would make to settle. I think it would be a decision I would make to broaden my horizon and be a little diverse in what I want and what I needed. Because what I wanted and what I needed at 25, 26 is totally different from what I want and what I need at 36. It's totally different. It doesn't even line up. I'm not even the same person myself. So, of course, what I expect of myself and from the person that I do date, it's just a totally different outlook. So I feel that if I have to step outside of my race, or if that opportunity presents itself, then I say, let's do it. Again, the outside world doesn't matter to me, because this is my happiness, this is my future. And I say, roll with whatever makes you happy. You know, it's about people need to be happy these days, and stop worrying about what other people think. It's they don't talk about you if you date a black man, a white man, because honestly, I've done it. Black man, and someone says things about them. So, I mean, no one is perfect. Just find that person who makes you happy. What's wrong with that? That's how I feel.
That's what's up.
Great answer.
It's each and every week, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. We chat on this line. We chat in the blog room, and also howwasyourweekend.com. Visit the site. Check us out, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know who's on the phone, their profiles are featured on howwasyourweekend.com, so you know exactly who's talking to us tonight. But let's just keep the party going and keep the phone lines open. We had a caller out in California. Are you still on the line with this caller? Phone number ending in 1731. You know what? That's okay. You might need to change your cell phone plan, bro, because it's just not happening. Mika, are you?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, talk to us a little bit about what's going on. What are your thoughts on what you've been hearing tonight?
I had so many, so I had to put a pin in it. I want to go way back a little bit when the sister from Houston called, and she was talking about the shortage of black men. Honestly, in my mind, I really think that that's like a ploy to make us feel like that. Because when I think about it, I have a lot of male friends that are good guys. They're just my friends, you know what I'm saying? They're not people that I would date, but they're good guys. And when I think about like setting them up with the female friends that I have, a lot of us aren't ready to accept a good black guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we want the bad guys. You know, we want the ones, or the relationships that are so unobtainable, and I really don't understand why. Like, that's a whole nother story in itself. But, you know, as us, y'all brothers on this phone commended us sisters for taking a step out to, you know, have this conversation, I have to commend y'all too, because just as many fingers that are pointing at us, there are fingers pointing at y'all. I mean, because even Tasha said, you know, some of them don't want to work and they want us to work, you know, like that's something that has been embedded in our minds. And as women, you know, African-American women, I want you to really think about the male friends, not guys that you dated, because I'm sure if it's a past tense dating situation, it's a past tense dating situation for a reason. But the men that are in your lives now that are friends or uncles or cousins, and when you look around, I don't know that many that are in the situations that we're talking of. I don't know very many that don't have jobs. Like most of my male friends, I went to school with them. They're doing better than I think I should be. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, where are these people at? Now, the down low thing, that's a whole nother story. Like, it's down low, so you can't really, you know, pinpoint who it is. But that's another thought that's in our heads that we're worried about when we're out dating. So I think it's like stipulations that the media or society, rather, have put in place for us to, you know, count out our black men.
Wow. You know what? The media does play a great part in this. I mean, we can look at, you know, Whoopi Goldberg. Think about that back in the day when she dated Ted Danson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she dated white men. She said, you know, black men, you know, have a hard time dealing with, you know, the black woman's power, you know, past boyfriends, you know, with Ted Danson, some other, Frank, somebody, I can't think of his name, but she often was criticized about, you know, her high-profile interracial relationship, you know. Even Barack Obama was criticized about it. You know, his father's from Kenya, his mother's from Hawaii, not to mention all the athletes who go through things like that, professional athletes who dated and married outside their race. We all remember, what's her name on The View? It was somebody else with Whoopi Goldberg. It was somebody else on The View that dated outside their race. But I remember Whoopi saying that a woman with power is a problem for any man, but in particular mm-hmm. a black man, because it's hard for a black man to get power, to get authority. And she said she understood that. But, you know, you have to have a life. I mean, that men that want to date her. So I can understand what you mean by that.
That is very true. Like I said again, being the career that I'm in, you make a lot of decisions, and the decisions that I make for my patients are, they are basically, no one can override that but the doctor. So it's kind of like I have such a high position, men that approach me, they're kind of like, oh, God, they already come with almost like that I'm going to have a certain disposition about myself, or that I'm not going to know how to submit, if you will, and allow him to be the man in the relationship, which is not true. You know, you play a role at work, and you put on many hats as a woman, you know. And so I think that when you talk about a woman that has power, any type of power, a judge, a lawyer, a nurse, any woman that makes great decisions in her everyday life, that does not mean that she's not going to know how to shift and be that mother or that wife or that loving friend or that partner that a man needs.
Okay. Okay. Well, Tanez, what, based on what these ladies are saying, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm glad to hear that there is a difference of opinion when it comes to that, because for me, I always had that thought that when it comes to being able to attract a woman, 9 times out of 10, or let me say 8 times out of 10, the good guy, the nice guy, the more unassuming guy tends to get passed over. And right, wrong, fair or not, that's what I've seen. And
okay.
It does, and what she said was so true about the people or the person that you never considered and you may could have been right under your nose this entire time. You know, because I think we all kind of tend to
to look on the other side of the fence sometimes and think that the grass might be greener based on what you may see as opposed to what you know. So it is. It's good to hear that by having a much more open set of beliefs when it comes to the opposite sex and kind of trying to see them for who they are instead of what they should be or what you think they should be. It'll definitely help bridge that gap. But I do, this is a whole nother topic right here. This is a whole nother, now you're talking about something outside of just interracial. You're talking about within your race relations and dating and the big dichotomy and thought processes between men and women. And she's right when she says that how sometimes, which is wrong for black men, to see a woman who has done well for herself to feel that she needs to be humble because of it. I'm a man, you need to be humble because of that. No, you need to be proud for your accomplishments. And as a man, we need to be able to say, you know what, I'm proud for you, but it doesn't mean that I should think less of myself based on you being further along. Personally, I'm cool with that. That means you're bringing more into the kitty. You know, so it's just how you're looking at it. So I do. I think that this is a huge educational thing that has to happen. And yes, I can fully acknowledge that black women have left us in a lot of different areas because they had to. You got to go get your education. You got to go do well for yourself because you have to. Without it, you'll be back there with us. And I'm just saying this figuratively, not necessarily individually. Because yes, there are brothers who I know personally who have done well and are doing well within their profession. So there is, I think there is a disconnect more than anything, because without some sort of social network or somehow of getting in contact with like-minded people, they might walk right past you, never even knew it.
Okay. I mean, we've all brought up some really good tonight. I mean, this has been a great show. I know our listeners have really, you know, took the time to chime in. The blog room has been staying full. I mean, we kind of have them on mute because they're listening. They're not saying too much, but they're on mute, and that's cool because I know that what we're talking about is really hitting home. You know, 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I think Bridget is – B is still on the line. You still on the line with us, B, in Houston?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey,
hello.
What's up?
Hey,
I'm still here.
Okay. Any thoughts on what you heard tonight? I mean, did we touch on some pretty good stuff?
I think we got way off topic. because we took it in a totally another direction, which is what's really great about having interaction. I think we all agree or can agree that there's a huge communication barrier. And I think that a lot of us have preconceived notions about everyone and what we expect and what we desire from them. And I like what the brother said about not seeing people for what they are, but for what we want them to be. And I think that's always played a major role because I think that we get disappointed because they're not what we thought they were. They're not what we wanted them to be, what we hoped for. I do believe that the good guy finishes last, just like the good girl finishes last. You know,
okay.
I mean, what can you really say about that?
Okay.
But I think that going forward, we will see more. I mean, we're going to continuously see more interracial dating because more people are mixed. Have different cultures, so you're always. So I don't think it's gonna go. It's not gonna go away.
Okay.
So if you don't like it and it drives you crazy, you might want to just close your eyes because it's not gonna go anywhere.
Well, thank you for that comment. We appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to wrap the show, but before we do, I want to definitely thank our panelists who've called in tonight, Tanaris Webb and Ms. Tasha Hood. Tasha, can you give us a little bit of information about yourself and tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
I can. My name is Tasha Hood. I'm a native from Detroit, Michigan. I am a speech language pathologist. I work in a healthcare environment. I currently service about two facilities per day. And I also have my own business, Evolve Health. It's a new water bottle company that just actually hit the market 2 months ago. If you all have an opportunity, please check it out at www.healthyliving h2o.com. You will be hearing more about this phenomenal water. It has a formula within it that is doing extraordinary things for people. A lot of athletes and entertainers are actually drinking this water. And if you need any further information about the water, you can contact me. I think the information is on the website.
It is. It is indeed. If you go to the blogtalkradio.com homepage, you will see Evolve, and you'll click on that link. You know exactly what Tasha's talking about. Support her business. Support her actions, ladies and gentlemen. She has a great point of view that she brings to the line. Tanaris, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Yes, my name is Tanaris Webb, and very well traveled. I'm originally from Alabama, but lived in the Midwest, Michigan as well, Ohio, and been in Dallas for the last 10 years. I have been in business for myself for the last 7 years. I own a IT consulting firm and have serviced several accounts throughout the country, and like Tasha, have stepped over into the network marketing space as well, but my product is poker. And this is a brand new initiative, something that's never been done before in the network marketing space. It's a awesome opportunity for those to get in on the front end and on top, as opposed to coming into an organization that's been around for years where you have to work harder. So definitely take a look at the website. It's called www.pokerforsport.com, and that's PokerForSport.com. And if there's any questions, feel free to reach out to me offline. And I wanted to say thanks again for inviting me, Andy. Tasha, it was a great interaction, and thanks for all the callers who had an opinion.
No, that's cool.
Andy, it was awesome. It was very awesome. I had fun.
I mean, this is what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We discuss real issues, real situations from real people and their perspectives. How else are we going to figure it out unless we talk to us? Celebrities, you may have a take, but you're hearing it straight from the heart. You're hearing it straight from the street. You know, I think this is a great opportunity. I really encourage you all to support their business. You know, their business helps them make money, and in turn can help you make money. Think about that. If you want to promote your business, have an opinion, think about considering being a guest host, speaking with me 1 week on a show on a topic, and get your point across and let your business be heard. I think that's what it's really all about. You know, in closing considerations, we're about to wrap the show up. I want to thank my callers who called in from all over the country. Let's just keep the party going each and every week. We're going to bring you a hot, fresh topic that we can all chime in on and talk about, you know, with race relations. You know, you just want to make sure that you're going to be happy. You know, that's what it's all about. You have to communicate to your spouse and to your significant other. You know, you may go through things. It may be race relations. It may be financial situations. You never know what you may go through. But just keep it in mind, what you go through is your issue. Don't let other people outside your home and your lifestyle and your family deter you from that, because that's what you do. It's your relationship. It's just that, you know. And I encourage you to just stay positive and stay focused on your world. That's what it's really about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, as we wrap up today's show, let me just thank my panel for their insight. I want to thank the fantastic folks who called in, who've been blogging and expressing their thoughts on Blog Talk and howwasyourweekend.com. As always, you know, you make the show what it is. I appreciate your ears. I appreciate your voice. This is just fantastic for me each and every week, and I thank you for just being a part of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Stay with us. Stay on us each and every week. You make the show what it is. If you had a good time and you got some good information out this show, then do me a favor. Tell 3, maybe even 5 more people to tune in with you next week, as we come back with a holiday edition of Happy Father's Day. Really? Are we really going to support those men who say that they take care of their kids? Or are there some really good stand-up men out there who can really initiate some strong fatherly know-how? BlogTalkRadio.com. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown. Good night. Go Mob. And I'm gone.